Greetings, everyone. All those that are here today, thank you for being here with us. And all of those who are online, thank you for being here. Praise God. And before we do anything else, maybe we can just pray and ask the Lord to be with us here. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, now. And by your grace, by your mercy, and by your truth, O Lord, that you would lead, and guide, and direct every person, Lord God, here that is physically with us here today, all those that are online. We pray, Lord God, for all those peoples out there, the war-torn, ravaged countries, oh Lord God, that are struggling just to find food and water. Oh Lord God, those that have no hope at all, that are constantly being displaced, ravaged by war and thugs, oh Lord God, the world wide over. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here with us today. All those people, Lord God, that are being persecuted out in the Sudan, oh Lord, North Korea, the Philippines, Yemen, all these areas out there, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be mindful, thoughtful, and careful to pray on their behalf, because, Lord, we know that what they go through, Lord, it affects us too, Lord. When one body, part of the body hurts, the whole body is affected. So, Lord God, I pray now that you would help us to look out and to look beyond the sphere of our own influence and to look beyond, Lord God, to reach out to others. To pray for their welfare, Lord God, even to go if we have to. I pray, Lord, that you would lead, God, and direct the service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God. Well, I just have to make an announcement. Too. I think next week it's going to be important that everybody that can make it can try to make it here for Sunday. We have a couple of baptisms. It's going to be very important that people would be here to help pray and support these people, that these folks that are coming from a distance to be baptized. And that we could participate in such a wonderful event in their own lives. And being baptized is commanded right next to being born again. And then we are to be baptized for the remission of all our sins. So I just want to encourage people, no matter where you are, if you're online and if you can be here with us as well, I would encourage you to do that. And is there anything else that you can think of? Or?
I suppose that's good for now, unless you want to announce the picnic that we plan to have.
Memorial
Day picnic.
There's going to be a Memorial Day picnic too this coming. The end of May there, right?
Yeah,
the end of May. So I'm sure the details would go forth shortly with all that. But just keep that in mind too as well, if you would. What day is that, on a Monday?
It's a Monday.
Okay, it's on a Monday. So if anyone's available to come for that, please bear that in mind. But we'll, I'm sure that whoever is going to be planning that would keep us abreast as to time and when to be here, what to bring, or whatever the case may be. But just be aware of that. So, praise God. Well, hey, came to worship the Lord. And
amen. Praise you, Lord.
Really, there's no other hope that we have outside of the Lord. I don't know about you all, but to go through life without having a relationship with God, without having and knowing His presence, has got to be the biggest, blackest void of all for anyone. I just can't imagine going through life without the presence of Almighty God. How many of us need that today?
That's right, for sure.
All of us. Every one of us needs His presence. So, bear with me here. I'm trying to find that song. Wait a minute, Shirley. That song that you talked about the other day, is that the hymn book? Do you remember what page that was?
Eight.
Eight? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. In the hymn book, page 8. Now, bear with me because I'm going to sing this song. Hopefully you will too, with me, without really knowing it. But there shall be showers of blessing. Now, I think I may have sung this years ago. I'm not quite for sure. So let's go there and ask the Lord to bless us with showers of His blessing today.
Amen.
The promise of His love. Amen. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious divine again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Drops from these are calling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and thou honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from to our falling, but to the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. showers the blessing. Showers the blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, brother.
Praise.
You know, there's more to life than the mundane, isn't there? There's a whole lot more than what people are able to see beyond the physical. And it takes the Lord to show you and to show me what we ought to be doing. How that we should obey Him. How that we should live this life that glorifies His name. Amen. But I don't know, the Word of God talks about how that obedience is better than sacrifice. Although there is a place for sacrifice, obedience is better. And there's a reason for that. The Lord wrote His Word so that it could be observed and obeyed. The reason being is that people would either choose life or death. And people that would choose not to obey the Word of God are choosing death.
Amen.
Those that would choose to, that would like to choose life would obey the Word of God. And if we don't have a heart to obey the Word of God, then my encouragement then would be that you should pray that God would give you a heart that would be willing to obey His Word.
Amen.
Because without obedience, how can you know to be led of God? If you don't obey the Lord now, you probably won't hear Him until you go back to that place where you disobeyed and make it right with God. That place of obedience. And there is so much in this walk with God that we need to learn about. But one of the biggest areas anyone can learn is that area of obedience and then trusting in God for the outcome. And it's not easy. Sometimes you just as soon get run over by a freight train than have to do what the flesh cringes to want to do or should do. Amen? Sometimes there are things that you would much rather do than to deal with the flesh and obey the Word of God. And it's going to be important that all of us, myself included, I'm not exempt from anything that I say up here. Neither is anyone out there exempt, and neither is anyone online exempt. Anyone who would hear anywhere in the world is exempt. Because, you see, we're all going to be held accountable one day. And the books will be opened and we're going to be judged out of the Word that we choose to obey or disobey. And from that, is what we will be judged from. And boy, it's far better to judge ourselves now and to look in the mirror now and to humble ourselves now rather than that the wrath of God would be upon us for disobedience. And so my encouragement to you today is that you would strive to enter in through the straight gate.
Amen.
Strive for the mastery. If we could go to that song, Trust and Obey, number 57 in the hymn book, maybe we could do that. I was just praying before and asking the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to say up there. Lord, I don't even know what to think. And I just go by faith and ask the Lord to just put your words in my mouth, because I can't do it apart from you, Lord. And it's not easy to have to look at the faces of people in front of you when you're up here speaking. It's not easy to do that. I praise God for the blessing of being able to encourage people. But wow, it's a faith walk. And not everything you do or say is going to be well received. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm just going to trust God here that the Lord would work things out for His glory, that each one of us could line up with the Word of God. Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but for His love drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a crown nor a cross, but in blessing we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. said obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Well, I too want to encourage people as well. About that we live in a dark day today, I know. Look, I know that we live, everyone knows that. We all know that. We know that the days are being shortened. We know that there is wickedness and evil at every turn, even in the governments of the world over. Our own country, our own government, things of that nature. I hardly even need to remind you about all that. I'm sure that we all are duly aware of all that is going on the world over and in this country. You hate to sound redundant even, just mentioning it, but the fact remains that it is something that we need to overcome. We are here, and it's something that we must do all that we can to not only encourage ourselves in the Lord, which sometimes can be impossible, but to encourage others. Because one word of encouragement can turn a life around. Amen. It just takes one word. It takes one word at the right time. A word in season and out of season, the Lord talks about.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And how we need to trust God. And believe God for the best. We don't have to live in the doldrums of everyday life and think negatively all the time. Believe it or not, there's hope beyond that.
Amen. Praise you,
Lord. Did you know that?
Praise God.
There is hope beyond the negativity of life that surrounds us. And we need that hope. Oh, we need that hope more than anything.
Amen.
No one can afford to live constantly in the doldrums of negative thoughts and always thinking negative about what the world is doing. We all know what the world's doing. We all know that. What oftentimes we don't know, though, is what is God doing?
Amen.
What is the Lord trying to do in our lives? Trying to lift us up, to bring us higher. We do need to be warned I thank God for the newsletter that Sam writes as an example. I thank God for many other avenues that the Lord gives us to that we can know, see, and understand the day and the hour that we live, so that we can know that His soon appearing is right at hand.
That's right.
And that we should be ready for it. But
Amen.
You see, how can we gain the victory if we don't have victory in our own lives? How are we to gain the victory and to be an encouragement to somebody else when we're so down low that we're looking up to see bottom? It doesn't work that way. And, wow, we all need help. We all need to find that place where we can be an encouragement to other people.
Thank you, Lord.
And that you can say, look to the Lord. And that you can help pray for someone.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
Because one or two people is simply not adequate anymore. Although one person can make a difference. But look, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. And there's hardly any good news. In fact, good news is real news these days, isn't it? To find good news, that's news.
Praise God. Yes, praise the Lord.
I guess I'm just going to leave it there. Leave it at that.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
I just want people to know that there is life beyond the negativities of life. That the Lord wants us to come up higher. He does. He really does. He wants you and me to have the victory. Because I just want to leave you with this. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And believe me, I've been in times when I've been so down and out and low, and it's not fun. It's not a fun place to be. It's not a fun place to be when you have people around you that are constantly, you know, you're rubbing the wrong way against. That's not good either. It's not good. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for all and everyone that's in that situation. And there needs to be a change. And it starts with a heart.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right here. Right here. So, let's go to 139. In the chorus book, unto thee, O Lord. Let's sing that. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. One more time. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. We could sing one more song in closing the song service. We should sing Have Faith in God today. Have faith in God. Hey, look, I just want to say something. Can I just speak to you as a brother in Christ? Can I just do that? Have faith in God today and forget about all the troubles that you're dealing with for one moment. When you give things over to the Lord, when you learn how to praise and worship God, you just get rid of all the little things that hinder and hold you back. Just give it a drop kick over the edge and say, look, it's time to change. I want to change. I want to do what's right. I want to do what glorifies God. Hey, you know, we're all in this together, aren't we?
Amen.
Right?
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, I just want to encourage people to just let go of all the things that hinder you. Let go of all those negatives that the devil, you know, look, I just want to say something here. The devil is always going to try to cause you to be tripped up in your thought life. See, he hits the mind morning, afternoon, and night. This is a battleground right here.
That's right.
Right here.
Amen. Yes, it is. Well, praise you, Jesus.
And if you can overcome this area right here, because see, this is where you fight the devil at the gates. The mind gate. That's an entrance. And if you can fight and defeat the devil there and resist the devil, he'll have to flee from you.
Praise the Lord.
Okay? That way it won't get down into your heart. It won't get down into here where it'll spread that nauseous poison like the Kidron Brook over in Jerusalem, where that waste from the city would flow. We deal with sin and sorrow every day. And look, we need victory. We need to have that overcoming power and strength. And we need faith because faith is that victory. And I want to encourage people today. There's hope. Reach out. Have faith. Believe God. Trust God. I don't care if I get run out of here with given the bums rush out, as Pastor used to say. I have to obey God, and I'm gonna speak what the Lord wants me to speak.
Praise you, Lord.
Okay. Whether it's here or somewhere else, wherever the Lord would have me go, amen. So I just want to encourage people: be real, be honest. Trust God. Amen. Let's sing that song, Have Faith in God. It's in 139 in the chorus if you don't know it. And we'll sing that right now. Amen. Have faith in God. Have for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. One more time. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise
Brother, can I get you to take that for me? Tithes and offerings. If anybody has a prayer request or a need or testimony, please feel free to raise your hand. In the meantime, Sam will be looking to come up here then, and we'll listen to Sam, and I'm sure the Lord gave him a good message, and looking forward to hearing that, and praise God. So we'll just go ahead and pray for the offerings, and then Sam will come up. Praise him. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for these tithes, gifts, offerings. Ask you, Lord God, that you would use this for your purpose and for your glory. Under the blood in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
Kiss them. There you go, Sam.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it is so good to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day out there. I'm thankful for the nice weather we've been having lately. It certainly was a long winter, but we've had some absolutely beautiful weather, and I'm thankful for that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
What we're going to do today is we're going to have a study on some things that my wife and I, we've been doing our daily Bible reading, and we just the other day finished up 1 Samuel, and we're going to be spending some time in 1 Samuel today, as well as some other portions of Scripture.
Amen.
And the title of the message for today that I've chosen is The Call of God. So we're going to be looking at that. Before I start, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name and to study thy holy word. We ask that thou wouldst be here with us and that thou wouldst anoint our ears and anoint our minds. We ask that thy spirit would move upon each and every one of us and that thou wouldst fill each and every one of us with the Holy Ghost. We ask, O God, that you would give us new understanding of thy holy word and of thy scriptures and of thy perfect will. We ask this and pray this in the name of Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Before I get started, there's one thing I kind of want to mention, because I know we don't get to talk about good news a whole lot these days, but I came across something yesterday that was, in fact, good news, which is pretty rare. Well, apparently there has been a reduction in funding for Planned Parenthood in the state of Wisconsin. And because of that, they have to close four clinics.
Amen.
One of those clinics is the Beaver Dam Clinic.
Oh, praise
so praise the Lord. Let's keep praying about that. There's still 23 other ones in this state that need to go, but it's a good start. So I just thought I'd mention that because I was really happy to hear that. Praise the Lord. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to be doing a study in the book of 1 Samuel, but before we do that, I'd like to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, just to get us started. And again, the name of this message is The Call of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is going to tell us a parable. He often did that. And I really enjoy his parables. There's so much to learn from them. There's so much to learn from everything that Jesus said. And I love to study the Word of God.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. It tells us, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Now, it's interesting here. We have this king, and he's having a marriage for his son, and he's invited a bunch of people, and it says they would not come. It doesn't say they could not come. It says they would not come. They didn't want to. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now these are people who were being called by God and they were rejecting that call. In fact, they were rejecting it in the worst way. And we know in the Old Testament that many of the prophets of God were slain by the children of Israel, which of course is a horrible and treacherous thing, and that's what Jesus is referring to here. Verse 7, "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities." There are consequences for our actions. There are consequences if you reject the call of God. "Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many people as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." So the people who were invited, they didn't want to come. They just went out to the streets and the highways and the byways, and they invited everyone they could find, and a lot of people came. A lot of people were called by God. Of course, as we'll see further on, many are called, but few are chosen. "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." Now at the time, it was customary for at weddings for the guests to be furnished with a garment to wear to the wedding, and this man wasn't wearing his, which was considered a great insult. There's a spiritual application to this. This is a parable. And to get a picture of what that spiritual application is, I'd like to go to the book of Isaiah quickly, to chapter 61, Isaiah 61. We're going to learn about that garment that Jesus is speaking of. And of course, we know that Isaiah 61 starts out with a prophecy about Jesus himself. And there are many of those in the book of Isaiah, which is why it's one of my favorite books. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 tells us, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." It was Jesus Christ who did that. Praise the Lord. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery, for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed." Now, in verse 10, he's going to tell us about that garment that we all need to be wearing. Verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We need to be clothed with those garments of salvation and that robe of righteousness. I'd like to go now back to Matthew chapter 22 for a few more verses. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 12 tells us, "And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." Of course, if we don't have those garments of righteousness, we will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And that is what Jesus was referring to in this parable. "Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And as we know, Peter made reference to that too. He said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So we see there, called and chosen. What we'd like to do now is go to the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to read about a man who was called by God, actually, who was called as a very young boy, and he answered that call. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. In 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. Okay, just so you know who we're dealing with here. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Elkanah loved his wife Hannah dearly, but she was unable to bear children. And because of that, he would give her a little extra of everything else just to try to make up for it. But it didn't really make Hannah feel any better, as we'll see in the subsequent verses. Back then, everyone wanted to have children. Children were considered the greatest blessing from God that you could receive. That's been kind of turned around these days. Many families consider children to be a burden rather than a blessing, which is the reason there are so many abortions done today, which I believe has brought a curse upon the United States of America. God hates the slaughter of innocent children. But children are a blessing from the Lord, and Hannah was unable to have children, and she was very grieved about this. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So obviously Elkanah was trying to cheer up his wife. She was very grieved that she couldn't have children. And Elkanah was a good husband to her. And said to her, you know, aren't I better to you than 10 sons? But that didn't cheer her up. She wanted to have children. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she's making a promise to the Lord, and if you will give me a son, he will serve the Lord all the days of his life. And of course, we know that all children really belong to the Lord anyway. He is the one who creates them, and as parents, we should be willing to give our children to the Lord. And hopefully one day they'll be called and they'll answer that call too, as we'll see Samuel do in the following chapters. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. So she's there praying and Eli the priest sees her, but she's praying her voice. She's not saying anything with her voice, but her mouth is moving, so we'll see here that Eli thought she was drunk. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. You know, sometimes when you're in deep sorrow over something and you're praying to God, you can't really speak. Sometimes all you can do is pray in your heart, and that was obviously the case here with Hannah. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Have you ever poured out your soul before the Lord? If you haven't done that yet, I would highly recommend it. When you're feeling sorrowful, one thing that can make you feel better is pouring out your soul before the Lord.
Amen.
I've had to do that many times throughout my life. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we'll sometimes see Belial referred to. Sometimes they say sons of Belial, and here it says daughter of Belial. Now, Belial there isn't a person, but what's that referring to is lawless ones, ones who did not obey the Lord, just in case anyone was wondering about that. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Praise the Lord. You can see there that pouring her soul out to the Lord had a good effect on her as well. It says, her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The meaning of the name Samuel is sometimes, the meaning given is sometimes asked of God or God heard. So it was a very appropriate name for this son that Hannah had just given birth to. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. It would be a wonderful thing to abide before the Lord forever, and that's something we're all going to get to do if we answer that call. And that new Jerusalem. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Now you'll notice in that verse, when she's addressing Eli, she calls him my Lord, which is just an honorary title, kind of like sir. A way to address someone respectfully back at this time. And when you see Lord in capitals, then it's referring to God, just in case anyone was wondering about that. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Praise the Lord. Hannah dedicated the life of her child to the Lord. And if you read the scriptures, if you read 1 Samuel, you will see that Samuel followed the Lord. And he followed him well. He was a righteous man. And he brought forth many wonderful things. Chapter 2, Chapter 2 of 1 Samuel starts out with a song. Hannah was so happy and excited that she just started singing before the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Oh, how wonderful it is to rejoice in our salvation. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none like the Lord, that is for certain, and he is our rock, the rock of our salvation. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." All of our actions will be weighed by God. You can count on that. Thankfully, if we've sinned in the past, we can repent of that, and then those actions will be washed away.
Amen.
"The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Whatever our fate may be, it's all in the hands of the Lord." And that applies to everyone. "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Praise the Lord. You know, the adversaries of the Lord, they are not going to be victorious. They will face judgment someday. And he gives everyone a space to repent, but sadly many people refuse to do so. You know, one thing I've noticed is that a lot of the elitists, such as the Rockefellers and so forth, they tend to live to be very old men. And I think part of the reason for that might be is God's actually giving them a chance to repent, but most of them will not. Well, we never know who will repent. Sometimes that's a great surprise. In the New Testament, Saul repented and became the Apostle Paul. That was a miracle. You never quite know what the Lord will do. Verse 11, "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Now this is tragic. Hophni and Phinehas, they were the sons of Eli. They were priests, and they were supposed to be holy men who served the Lord, and they did not. As we'll see in these verses, they were exceedingly wicked. "And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up the priest, took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came hither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to the roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." Now there was a particular process they were supposed to follow when they were preparing these sacrifices to be eaten, and the priests, they didn't like it that way. They said, "We will not have sodden flesh, but raw." And In verse 16, it tells us that it's, and if any man said unto him, that let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. I guess they must have really wanted that meat, because they said, if you don't give it to us right now, we're taking it. We'll take it by force if we have to. But that was just the beginning of their disobedience to God. They did other things that were very horrible. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And I'm sure that when Hannah got to see Samuel every year, she must have been very happy to see him, and I'm sure she was greatly pleased to see how the Lord was working with him. Amen. She would bring him a little coat. I'm sure he appreciated that too. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Isn't that horrible? They would lay with the women who had assembled at the tabernacle. And as we'll see in these verses, God had just about had enough of that. He was not going to allow that to continue.
Amen.
These were supposed to be holy men, servants of the Lord, and they were in gross disobedience. Unfortunately, that's a very common thing in our day and age, too. Many religious figures, men who are supposed to be holy, they are in gross disobedience to the Lord.
Amen.
And, of course, this displeased Eli as well. In verse 23, it tells us, and he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. They were causing the people of the Lord to sin. They were supposed to be doing the opposite of that. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. So their father tried to reason with them. Eli, he tried to talk to Hophni and Phinehas, but they would not listen. They would not heed his voice, and they just kept sinning. It was not going to end well for them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kicked ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you want God to honor you, you must honor him with your whole heart. And if you despise the Lord, as so many people do today, you will be lightly esteemed by the Lord. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. There were going to be tragic consequences for Eli's sons because of their sin. That family would never have an old man again, as we'll see in the following verses. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them. And if you read further on in the book of Samuel, that does come to pass. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. And of course, we know that Eli, he was a good man as far as human standards are concerned. He did fear the Lord, but he was unable to restrain his sons to prevent them from doing such wicked things. And because of that, his family would be cut off. A very sad and tragic thing, but that's what this prophet of the Lord came and told him. But now we're going to read about how the Lord calls on Samuel, who was a young boy at the time. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You know, in those days, with such wicked leadership, it was very rare to hear a word from the Lord. Occasionally a prophet would come, such as was the case in the previous chapter, but for the most part, the word of the Lord was a very rare and precious thing in those days. And unfortunately, it's become that way again in this age as well. Verse 2, And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. So Samuel, he heard the Lord calling him, but he didn't know it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli. So he ran to Eli, who was probably sleeping at the time, and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And of course, Eli hadn't, so he was probably confused at that moment. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. At this point, Eli was probably getting a little annoyed. He had not called to Samuel, and yet Samuel kept running up to him, Here am I. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So Eli finally figured out what was going on here. The Lord was calling Samuel. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And that's how we all need to respond when we're called by the Lord. We need to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord came and stood and called as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord was about to speak to Samuel. Unfortunately, the message he is going to give to Samuel was a very hard message, a great burden to bear, especially for such a young child. If you can imagine, just think about that, what God is telling him here, and he's a young child, and he's going to have to bear this message and bring it to Eli. It's a remarkable thing. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. There are consequences if your children are disobedient to the Lord and you can't restrain them. And unfortunately, we'll see what those consequences were for Eli. Of course, the prophet that was sent to him in the previous chapter, he explained what would happen. Verse 14, And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. You can imagine, he was just a young boy at the time. And he had to bear this news to Eli. Talk about a frightening thing. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. He said that a lot. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. I'm sure it was a very grieving thing to hear, and I'm sure it was a grieving message for Samuel to bring forth, but Eli knew it was from the Lord, and he knew that you can't question the Lord. The Lord will do what he will do. So his response was, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Of course, he will anyway. He always does. He doesn't ask our opinion first. Doesn't conform to our will. We must conform to his will. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So the Lord was with Samuel, even as a small child, even as a young boy. I always loved the story in chapter 3 when I was young, because obviously Samuel the prophet is my namesake in the Bible. And so I just loved that story when I was a kid. And I'm sure being called to ministry at such a young age is a very difficult thing to do. I feel like I can relate in a small sense, because I know with my dad's ministry, I began assisting him when I was just 13 years old, and well, I've been doing that ever since. You know, this church is like my second home. I call it my home away from home, actually. And I love being here. I love feeling the presence of God. And it's a wonderful thing the way the child Samuel answered the call of the Lord. And he was blessed greatly for that, and many were blessed by Samuel's ministry as well. He would go on to appoint the first two kings of Israel, Saul first, and then Saul unfortunately rebelled against the Lord, and then Samuel would go on to anoint David as well later on. So he was a wonderful servant of the Lord, a prophet in Israel. He was actually the bridge from the era of the judges to the era of the kings. So he played a very crucial and important role. And it's all because Hannah gave this child to the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. We all need to answer that call of the Lord. I'd like to go to one last portion of Scripture in closing. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have been called. Thankfully, we have been called, and he's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There are exceeding great and precious promises from the Lord if we answer his call, if we obey him. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Peter is explaining here how we will behave if we answer that call of God, how we will behave if we are living in obedience to God.
Amen.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins, from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. How can you make your calling and election sure? Well, he explains that to us in those previous verses. If you follow those guidelines, you can make your calling and election sure. If you live in obedience to God, you can make that calling and election sure. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we answer that call, if we live in obedience to God, we'll be able to enter into that everlasting kingdom. That's what I'm seeking. That's what I want.
Amen.
I hope it's what you all want too. What should we do When the Lord calls us, we should follow the example of Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And if you ask with all sincerity, he will speak to you. He does it in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's with an audible voice, but that doesn't happen quite as often as it used to in this day and age because there's so much interference. Sometimes you just have to get rid of everything, shed all the world, and just get into prayer with God, and then you'll hear him speak to you. But sometimes he'll speak to your heart also. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will move upon you and show you new and wonderful things from the Scriptures.
Yes.
You know, there are some places in the Bible you might read them 50, 100 times, and every time you read it, you get something new out of it.
Amen.
I love it when that happens. But we need to obey that call and make our election sure, and we can do that. Praise the Lord. And if we do, the Lord will speak. He'll speak to us.
Oh, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, that is the message for today. I guess we can go ahead and... I'll close with a prayer. And then we'll have a closing chorus, of course. And also, if you could keep me in prayer, I would appreciate that. I will be buying a house tomorrow, so we're kind of excited about that. And I would appreciate your prayers. I'm going to close with a prayer now. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy call. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy holy scriptures. We thank thee for the example set by Samuel. We ask, O Lord, that thou wouldest speak to our hearts and show us new and wonderful things from thy scripture. Help us to heed thy word, O Lord. Help us to obey thy commands. Help us to live in righteousness before you, to put on the garments of righteousness. O Lord, we ask that thou wouldest be here with each and every one of us and let thy Holy Ghost move upon us all. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith.
Amen.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer.
Yeah, I did finally yesterday.
Good job.
Yeah. I was really praying about it. And he finally, yeah, the one that I thought I was going to get completely in time and went to look at it. And we're so different, but it seems like whenever we need something for the house, we always are on the same page, which is really helpful. And he said, I just think that's really flimsy. And then we found a Kenmore, which I was raised on.
Those. Is that a Sears?
Mm-hmm. I was raised on those kind of products, but seemed like they weren't as good as they used to be. But then when we shopped the other night, we went to Sears.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked, and there was a stove that was a $1,300 stove on sale for $941. And it had a Consumer Reports rating of 84, which I thought is pretty good. And then when I went to talk to the guy about it, we looked it up online, and it was nearly $100 less than that online. And I prayed on the way in.
She gave you the online price?
About that the Lord would stop it if it wasn't right, and that, you know, he'd help me. And she gave us an online price besides.
That's really nice.
That was really...
Where did you go?
Just out here to the Sears.
Oh, the Sears out here.
Yeah, because we wanted to stay where, if you need, just have service.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and that's what happened with that. I loved my LG stove. I mean, I shouldn't say I loved it. I had no complaints about it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed using it. And then after that went wrong, I started looking. It was recalled for fire and burn hazard in November of last year, and we never got a notice.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was not good.
So,
and I have no idea what you're up to right at the moment. I was going to, if you and Sam both have just a minute, I did call the phone guy.
Oh, you called
him? Mm-hmm. So, I thought if you have, I would just take a moment to kind of fill you in about what he said. And if you don't, that's certainly okay. And then I did write down that bank stuff as well.
Yeah, we do need to get your plan to go see the bank personnel there Tuesday and get that straightened. So that won't help.
Uh-huh. Yeah, then I started wondering what that's going to do, how I'm going to deal with that. But I think maybe... whatever we open the account with, will just be a transfer. Maybe what's coming in will be the deposit. I'm not sure how to deal with the fee, but I'll figure that out later. Even if I have to talk to the accountant, because that could be a little weird.
Oh,
what will
happen?
I'm not sure how that will all play out, but, you know, I called her the other day again. It blows her heart. She was so good to me. Because I figured I should have talked to her in more depth about this when I was there, and then I just couldn't get going with it, and so I called her and asked.